Okay, I am sure you realized when you walked in that our service was a little different today. And I have several sticky notes here with different directions from different people, so bear with me and I hope we get it right. Anyhow, Jamie is going to speak for a little bit, and then Pippa will lead us in her meditation music as we pass out some activities for you to do. And the music is to get your muse going and get you in the mood to do something creative. And then Jamie will take Q&A if you have any questions while you're doing your note cards. And I will bring along the handheld mic. So please raise your hand if you have a question, and Jamie will come up here and answer the questions. So, in this reflection on creativity and connection, visual artist Jamie Schwabe will share her experience how arts can bring people together in meaningful ways, especially during times of isolation and uncertainty. She will explore how creativity can spark connection, foster belonging, and create moments of unexpected joy. She is a base mixed media artist who loves to explore different materials and to create on top of unique surfaces such as sheet music and vintage maps. Her visual art is often inspired by my lifelong love and work in theater and sense of place, such as the special places where communities gather. Her art is featured at Museum Broadway in New York City, on the cover of a magazine I had up here at one point, but I don't see it now. It's a magazine called Inspired, and there are many copies on the back table. This comes out of Decora every couple months, I think, so feel free to take one from the back table. It's displayed on and inside of the coffee camper in Fountain City. And when not creating visual art, Jamie works as director of development at the Reading Center Dyslexia Institute of Minnesota. And she recently took on the role of executive director of Sugarloaf Community. So welcome, Jamie.
Hi. So like she said, my name is Jamie Schwabe, and thank you for inviting me to be here today. And also thank you for your flexibility. I said to Lynn when she asked me, I was like, well, can we also do a little art? Because I think that's part of it. And we're talking about community and art, I think why not give everybody a chance to do some. But we will make beautiful oops. And if you haven't ever looked at this book, I know some of you could see it, but this is one of my favorite books. I just love what it says. I'm somebody that actually really loves to work mostly in. Sometimes I do sketch things out in pencil, but I also love the opportunity of just trying to go with the flow and trying using ink and making things into beautiful oopses. So I can challenge you to do that today as well. But art has always been a big part of my life. I do hold a degree in theater, and much of my career has been in performing and as well as in arts administration. And I really loved creating visual arts as a child, but that often took a backseat when I was raising my family and, you know, just work and life balance and everything like that. But that all kind of changed during 2020. So there's a line from the musical Rent that has just stayed with me for years, and it's connection in an isolated age. And I think that that's only become more true over time. It was definitely true during 2020, and unfortunately, I still think it's a little bit true today. And as somebody, I was raised Jewish, and I actually have attended, not here, but in the past, like when I lived in Milwaukee and stuff, too, I have attended some Unitarian services and things like that. But I've really found that community that often people have found in religion and things like that, I've found that community within the arts. But what was kind of new to me in 2020 was finding that within visual arts. So at the time in 2020, I was the managing director at the Minnesota Conservatory for the Arts here in town. And suddenly, like so many organizations, we had to okay, everything that was meeting in person, now we have to get that online. So visual arts is the one that worked a lot better than dance and music and things like that. So we pivoted, and I had these amazing teachers that just started putting everything online and or making tutorials and things like that. I see some people that even participated, Miss Margaret and things like that, with what my awesome teachers created. So I found myself moderating those classes. So I'd go on to make sure that they were doing okay. But then even after they were doing okay, I still was moderating. Or I should just say taking the classes alongside with everybody. So I really got obsessed with oil pastels. Was one of the first mediums that we did. Lisa Douglas, who has now become a dear friend of mine, started and things like that. So I really just fell in love with it, and I loved watching and being a part of those connections that were made during that time. Also during that time, the other Rent lyric that really stuck out to me was, how do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction each day? So, because, let's be honest, that's what it felt like, right? Everything was just strange and uncertain, and I think that's one of the things that really draws me in is it gave me a way to document real life and or just create conversation, have something else to talk about. So wasn't perfect, and it was capturing moments and places and just gave that something to talk about, oh, look, I made this, oh, you made that, and have things going back and forth on text or in on Zooms and things like that. So also kind of during that time, in late 2020, I was fortunate enough to get a grant from Springboard for the Arts, and that allowed me to launch a project called Sharing Creativity. The goal was simple. It was to combat isolation and help people feel connected through art. So what I did was I created and distributed over 50 art kits to families, older adults, individuals with disabilities, and people who were feeling especially isolated. Really, everybody, right? and also to reach more people, I did work with HCO, Home and Community Options, and also Project Fine. Each kit had included supplies and instructions for four projects that were meant to be done over a four-week period. The project included happy notes, kindness rocks, whimsical postcards, and a community quilt square. Each project was carefully designed to create COVID-safe interactions and a sense of community. So though there were instructions, we still had a Zoom call so that we could still connect in person and also, virtually. And also we did a little drawing activity together, and we kind of chatted about the supplies and things like that that were in their kit. And then the creativity started to spread. So people made happy notes and left them for family members tucked in unexpected places. That we definitely needed those little random acts of kindness. I heard that word today. That's what a lot of this is based in, right? So needing that and just needing that little surprise in the day, things like that, that kind of helped break up that monotony. We painted rocks and hid them around town for strangers to find. They created whimsical postcards and sent them to old friends and teachers or even complete strangers. Those that didn't have somebody that they wanted to send things to, also I collected those and I took them to St. Anne's and things like that. Finally, everybody decorated a quilt square that they were given in their kit, and then they could, and then I linked those all together, and then one of the participants, we did a drawing and somebody won it, so, and got to see, and we got to take a picture of all of the squares all put together. It was really beautiful. So one of my favorite parts was hearing the stories afterwards about someone who was leaving a note on their friend's car or families sitting down to create together for the first time. And then it hit me. The art was itself beautiful, but the connection that it created was really the masterpiece. Today, a lot of my art focuses on meaningful places and moments, especially places where people gather, so coffee shops and local landmarks and spaces that just collect memories. And that's what's really been special for me, was just all the connections that I've made through my art. I've reconnected with old friends because that have seen a piece and they say, oh my gosh, I remember going there and things like that. I grew up in Kansas, and so I've connected with friends in Kansas, and I've connected with friends from Milwaukee that I went to college with or things like that, because that art has created that, oh yeah, remember when? Or recently I posted a collection of 26 pickles that were dressed in musical theater costumes. Sometimes it's just for fun. and so I got to connect with a lot of my like musical theater friends that from my old hat that I used to wear when I lived in Milwaukee. So I love that, you know, sometimes it's not quite as meaningful. Sometimes it's just for fun, but it creates that connection, right? So I've also met a lot of, like, really incredible business owners, local business owners, because I've had the chance to, I need to paint that. Because I just love it so much, or sometimes I've been asked to create commissions, and then those turn into conversations, which then turns into a friendship. And I've really had moments of connection that I never expected. My art journey, I would have never thought 6 years ago I would have been here even talking about art, maybe theater, because that's where, you know, that's what I grew up doing, but now my days just really aren't complete without creating, and over those past 6 years has become such an important part of my life. And, you know, having my a piece selected to be in the Museum of Broadway was really just, like, really surreal. But I also got to create a piece that was gifted to our sister city in Japan. It was gifted by the city of Winona to the city in Japan. And that was really incredible. And then, like was mentioned, I have a piece of mine was blown up on the side of, it's a heart with the coffee camper that lives in Fountain City. So, and it's really fun to see. I get a little buzz every time I drive by and see that. But I've also been able to use my art to help raise funds, mutual funds, by giving to a piece that was given to the Winona Sheltering Network and things like that. But honestly, sometimes it's just the smaller things. It's like I created a sticker for my sister who plays Mahjong and pickleball and has a bunch of friends that also do the same. And so now they have like this, it's really simple, but it sparks conversation. She made some stickers, and, you know, they're now on all their water bottles, and now they have this little connection that they have, and they're part of something, right? Like, oh, yeah, like, they have that connection spot. So, you know, sometimes it's just a postcard or a painted rock or a sticker, and sometimes it's just sitting down and doing the art together, like, just doing some doodling together. Doesn't have to be beautiful. Sometimes it's just about the process. But it's those small acts of creativity that can really open doors to conversation and to connection and to community. And also, I focused this because I was kind of asked about my visual art practice, but I have lots to say about connection and what theater and performing arts also does. So if you ever want to have that conversation, please let me know. I'm happy to have that conversation as well. But today my challenge is to you is that I'm going to hand out some little tiny notes like the ones that are on your table. It's like some of those are very silly and it's not about fancy artwork. But we're going to, and I have some little information sheets in case you need some ideas, some sparks, right? But I'm going to challenge you to do a random act of kindness and make something that you can give to a friend or to a stranger on that little small canvas. They're just 2.5 by 3.5 little cards. Make a little happy note. If you feel like you're just really not crafty, I do have some stickers on your table too as well that you can just stick on there. And you could write a note if you want. You can write a note or you can just draw a picture. You can put a quote, things like that. You can go ahead and pass those out. Thank you. And while we're doing it, I know Pippa is going to play some music at first and we'll have it just be kind of quiet. But then after that, if I encourage you also to talk while you're doing it and have fun talking about why, talking about the process, because that's where also that community comes in. So I think now I'll invite Pippa to play along. I also have a few coloring. I have some. I'm all about choices. So the other thing I have is I do have a few of these. They're not on like a real great paper, but they're just some of my art that you could make into that's a coloring page. So if someone would really prefer, or if you want this instead, I can put these up on the table and people can grab them, or you can raise your hand and I can drop them that way. These are probably going to be best with the colored pencils and things like that. And the only other thing that I'll say about I tried to give you a variety of materials to experiment with, but I will say that some of them have brush tips, and the one thing I'll tell you if you've never worked with a brush tip is that you don't want to go straight down with it. You want to kind of color it on the side like you would a paintbrush.
Everybody is enjoying their creativity, but again, if you have a question, just raise your hand and I'll bring the mic to you.
I forgot to mention.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for coming today. You mentioned, it was mentioned during the introduction that you've just assumed the directorship of the Sugarloaf community. What exactly is that?
Sugarloaf Community Theater. So my son actually, when he was 15, started Sugarloaf Community Theater. And he is now off at college. We have a wonderful board, and Seamus will actually be back this summer and directing the summer musical and things like that. So, yeah.
How did you parent that? Like how do you instill related values without causing pushback? And how did you approach that?
Yeah, I think it's really that. So we did actually, I never thought that we would homeschool. And then in first grade, actually due to being really adverse to reading, which then we later found out was dyslexia. And it's funny, and now I work at the Dyslexia Institute of Minnesota in Rochester. I commute a couple of days a week, but mostly work remotely. We ended up homeschooling, and I think a lot of student-led learning. I mean, he was the person, like, if you told him, and even a little bit to this day at 19, like, if you tell him this is what you need to do, then he's not, but if you give him the space, then he usually does the right thing, and he just, he's just so passionate about it, but he actually, He was in the first couple productions that I directed. I directed children's theater where we lived in Marinette, Wisconsin, at University of Wisconsin-Marinette, which is in northeastern Wisconsin, about an hour north of Green Bay. That's where we lived before we moved to Winona 11 years ago. And he was in the first couple productions, or last couple productions I directed there, and he was about seven. And then wanted nothing to do with theater for a couple years, and then we brought at the conservatory brought a production, one of the Prairie Fire Children's Theater. It's like a theater company that comes in and does a week-long thing, which I actually toured with them when I was in college one summer, and I was like, buddy, you're gonna really like this. And he was kind of a pain in the butt at the auditions. Like, he was, like, moving all around, and he was, and everybody gets cast, so he was in the ensemble, and he fell in love. And then, so he was about 10 or 11 at the time, and then ever since then, and so just room to grow.
I thank you, Jamie, so much.